us? Is there a terrible consequence waiting for the public protector, Busisiwe Mgwebani? Yesterday, the National Assembly adopted rules for the removal of office bearers of the Chapter 9 institutions. It's not only the public protector that might be removed, the Auditor General, the Commissioners for Gender Equality, the Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities, the IEC, the South African Human Rights Commission and the public protector. But the rules were essentially drawn up because they're is at least in some quarters a move to remove the public protector. Gay Davis of our parliamentary team is on the line to us now. Gay, good afternoon. How onerous is the process to get rid of a Chapter 9 head?
John, I think that they were aiming to set up a process that would be fair and a due process, and it is clearly not meant to be an easy process, because you don't want a situation where you can simply get rid of a public protector, for example, because he or she is finding against the government and embarrassing members of it. So it needs to be a fairly onerous process. It's a four-step process, and it obviously begins with any member of the National Assembly making a call for the removal of the head of a Chapter 9 institution. There are only three grounds for the removal of such a head, John, in terms of the Constitution: incapacity, incompetence, or misconduct. So either they're impaired and they can't perform, or they show a demonstrated lack of any knowledge to carry out their job or their duties. And misconduct means that they've either been grossly negligent or intentionally failing to meet the requisite standard of behaviour expected. So once a member puts in initiates these proceedings, they can't simply just write a paragraph saying they want the public protector out. They've got to make a proper substantiated charge, and they've got to show prima facie that the person is either guilty of misconduct or is incapable or incompetent.
And then there's an independent panel involved, and I suppose the composition of that independent panel is going to be interesting.
Yes, correct, because that substantial charge by the Member of Parliament goes to the Speaker, who makes sure that it meets the criteria, and then she must refer immediately this motion to an independent panel. Now, this is a three-person panel. They all have to be fit and proper South African citizens. It could include a judge, but collectively they should have the legal competence and experience to carry out an assessment of the evidence before them. They are not involved in deciding anything about the office holder. They're not involved in making a decision at all. They must simply assess the evidence before them, and they only get appointed after the speaker's consulted with the different parties. I think they're allowed to nominate persons, and the speaker then appoints the chairperson. Now, if this independent panel, John, comes back within 30 days, that's the amount of time they've got, after their preliminary assessment on the motion, if they come back and they say there's a case to answer here, then the proceedings go further, and it then is up to the Speaker to schedule this recommendation before the National Assembly.
Okay, so as you say, it's not an easy process.
It's not.
What's your sense? Nothing's going to happen in 2019, because 2019 is almost finished, at least the parliamentary part of it is. What's your sense of the appetite to begin this process against the current public protector?
Well, I think the appetite on the part of the Democratic Alliance, who initiated the calls for Busisiwe Mgwebani's removal, is still very sharp.
But the ANC is what matters.
Well, the ANC is what matters, but I know that I understand that there are members in the ANC who agree that she's not performing to the best of her abilities or to the standards that the office demands. But whether they are in the majority and whether they'd be able to sway a caucus is moot. And obviously that's where it's going to come down to numbers, because if there is a resolution by the National Assembly that an inquiry must go ahead, then it gets referred to a committee, presumably an ad hoc committee. The Speaker has to tell the President, the Office has been told already, and this committee then actually gets down to the nitty-gritty of conducting an inquiry and establishing the veracity of the charges. And after that, it reports to the National Assembly.
Now that is a couple of months at the very least. Kay Davis of Eyewitness News Parliamentary Team, thank you very, very much indeed.